Hi everyone, it is Sophia. Welcome to Life on Audio. So I'm having a day. And when I mean I'm having a day, I mean I'm having a bad day. I'm having one of those days that like literally nothing could make me feel better in this moment. It's been a rough day, okay? Like it's been truly rough and like there's not even any like real reason why it's been rough either. You know when you just like have a bad day and you know you're not coming out of it, no matter what happens, you could treat yourself to all the things you want. You could, I don't know, like nothing is going to change. Cheer me up today. And that's okay. Like I'm okay with that. Obviously from experience, I know this is a right now thing. It's not a forever thing. You know, like tomorrow might be a better day. I would say probably not tomorrow. I think usually when I have days like these, it takes like a couple of days for me to recover. But like hopefully Wednesday is going to be a better day. Wednesday could be a better day, honestly. I'm thinking Wednesday, maybe I like break convention and I like go do something after my classes because I have the time to do it. And then like in the evening, I have this thing that I signed up for a really long time ago. It's sort of like an art moment slash like socialization moment. I don't know. I'm not completely sure. I did sign up for it like over a month ago. So it's been a really long time. And then I checked my calendar today and realized that it's this week. And I was like, oh, okay. So I guess I have this on Wednesday. So hopefully like maybe that'll be a good thing, you know? But anyways, yeah, it's been a day. Like it's really been a day. And I will say I was trying to keep myself out because I kept thinking that like if I did certain things, maybe I would feel better. But ultimately they didn't make me feel better. But I did just get back like literally 3 minutes ago, got back to my apartment. I already had planned to record this episode the moment I got back. But I do feel a little better now that I'm back at my apartment. So maybe I really did need to just like come home. Although I don't know if that's exactly it because I also kind of was like, if I just come directly home and I spend the rest of the day at home, I might spiral even more. So I wanted to like keep myself out for a while, but now I'm like, okay, like it's late enough in the day where I know exactly what I'm going to do after I record this episode. Like I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go to the sauna. I'm going to take my everything shower and then I'll have dinner. And like by the time that I finish that whole thing, it'll already be like closer to the time that I should get ready, not get ready for bed, but like I'll probably like edit one of my podcast episodes, the one that's coming out this week, and then like call it a night at some point, maybe watch something. Like I'm going to be gentle with myself. Okay. We're going to be gentle. But anyways, I'm going to ramble a little. I'm going to share just kind of things that have been on my mind. Honestly, coming back home really did lift off a weight. I'm not gonna lie. I truly was struggling, but I'm gonna ramble a little and then we're gonna go into what this episode is about. Basically, someone actually asked me to do an episode on this topic, and I know I've talked about it before, but I thought I could talk about it in the context of college. And then I'm also going to combine it with something else. And I've decided I'm going to do it that way because I have been talking about this a lot recently on TikTok. And I thought I could just condense a lot of things that I have been speaking on into this episode and then add on this extra layer. And I feel like they go hand in hand, which is perfect. So it's kind of like last month where I did like going out in Greek life. This month I'm doing loneliness and friendship. And like I said, I think they go hand in hand. And of course, I'll share my experience with all of that and we'll get into it, but I will give myself some time to just like ramble, rant, have my moment because life is not always perfect and right now life does not feel perfect whatsoever for me. And I know it's temporary, but I am still feeling it and this is my podcast and I do keep it real. So I'm going to keep it real with you guys. Anyways, yeah, so we'll get into that. We'll talk about it and hopefully this helps some people out, or at least it helps the one person that asked for this episode out. So, okay, honestly, now that I've gotten back to my apartment, literally that weight got lifted off of my shoulders. Like I feel so much better. I had class and then I have this class with one of my friends, like one of my closest friends here at UCLA. And after the class, I was kind of hoping, I don't know, for some reason I was like, I am just feeling so off after this class. I'm not feeling good. And I thought that the way to like help myself feel better was by like keeping myself in the company of others. And I was kind of hoping that she'd be like down to like spend more time together after class because usually we go our separate ways. And she was. So like I actually like had lunch by myself and then I met up with her again. But I feel like that didn't make me feel better. I don't know why. Like I genuinely thought, I was like, oh, if I go home right now, like I'm gonna be alone. And if I'm alone, then that's just gonna make me feel worse. But I think maybe this is just one of those days where I actually needed to be alone. And I really did like initially consider just coming back home and literally laying in bed, which like I never do. I'm not the type of person, no matter how, well, no, that's a lie. But like it takes a lot, and I mean a lot, for me to actually like feel the need to rot in bed and go ahead and do it. Many times I'll think think about it, I'm like, oh, maybe that's what I like, my body's craving it right now. But to actually get myself into bed is like a whole feat. It doesn't come naturally to me. I know for a lot of people it does. For me, it just doesn't. I feel like I need to like be off the bed. Like my bed is for when it's time to sleep, you know, and I keep it at that. Anyways, yeah. Okay, let's see. What were like some things that were on my mind today? I don't know. I think a big part of the reason why I fell off today, and then maybe also like it probably has been a buildup, just because I haven't been in my routine for quite a while now. If you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I have a pretty stringent routine, especially in the morning and at night. And I also try and get to bed at a certain time and wake up at a certain time. And recently I have not been getting to bed at that time. I've been getting to bed quite later. I think last night I went to bed at 1, which, oh my gosh, that's actually kind of crazy. And it was like stupid because, okay, yes, I did have something last night that like went for a lot longer than I expected. And then like I got home only like at 11, but like I could have fully been sleeping by 11:30, but I wasn't. I feel like basically what I've been doing recently is like I'll get into bed usually like at a normal time, but then I'll fight sleep for hours on end. And I'll be on my phone. And like, I know that's not a great habit, but it is part of my routine at this point. And like, I haven't really found the power to sub it out just yet. I don't know if I ever will, honestly. But anyways, the point is, it's just been part of my routine to do that. But like, I'll usually like not do that for super long, you know, like an hour max. Like the moment I climb into bed, like within the next hour, I will be ready to sleep. Like I will be sleeping. But for some reason, I've just been pushing it. I know that's such a bad habit. Like I know, I am aware, but it's just part of my routine and I don't have the power to sub it out. Okay, like I said, but yeah, I just haven't really been on that routine recently. Like for example, obviously because I went to bed so late yesterday. Well, first off, there have been days where I go, obviously like I'm pushing my bedtime, but then I'm still up at the same time that I usually would be at, like between seven and eight. And so then I'm obviously losing sleep with that. And then this morning I definitely woke up later than expected, which was good because I'm glad that I got the sleep. But then obviously, like, I don't know, it felt a lot more rest. And I thought maybe like I kind of knew once that thing that I had last night like went over time that I wasn't going to be able to do this. But I was kind of hoping that I would. I feel like on Monday mornings I usually do my like everything shower, hardcore gym sauna routine, just because of how my classes are like structured this quarter. Like for some reason I've gotten into the habit of doing this. Monday and then Thursday afternoon is also my like self-care. Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening is my self-care moment. And unfortunately I wasn't able to do that today, so I feel like that was kind of off. So obviously like after this I'm gonna do that self-care moment, but like I don't know, I usually do it in the morning, so I guess like things felt a little off. Anyways, actually talking about this event I had yesterday, it was a really cool event. That's the thing, I'm like, I'm not in, but I know we always have bad days. Like it's, everyone has their bad days, and it's like sometimes you just can't do anything about it and you just have to kind of like suck it up and deal with it. And that's just where I'm at today. But yesterday I had this thing called Dinner for 12 Strangers. It's a UCLA tradition where basically the like Student Alumni Association puts on this event. This is like a yearly event at the end of February, early March. And long story short, they'll pair students with an alumni or alumnis. I don't know if that's the plural version of it, but I think it is. And the alumni hosts these students for dinner at their house. And it's a really, really, really cool event. And I'm actually like, after yesterday night, I'm so sad that I never get to experience it again, unless I guess somehow, some way I end up moving to LA when I'm older and have a house and then get to host my own. Honestly, maybe that's gonna have to be on my bucket list, like my life bucket list, because it's such a cool thing, like literally such a cool tradition too. Like this truly is my favorite UCLA tradition because it's amazing. Anyways, I did this back in my sophomore year and it was a very different experience from the one I had last night. Last night was like really perfect, like it was really good, except for the fact that it did go like over time because at some point I was just exhausted and I was like, I want to go home. But like we did like transportation with each other, like I don't know. Anyways, the point is, I was like, I could have always been like, I'm just going to order an Uber home. But I was like, because I came with people, like I'm going to leave with them. And anyways, yeah, we were invited to this couple's house. I think they're in their like late 50s. They have 3 children, but they're all like, they're empty nesters essentially. They have a beautiful house, gorgeous view, like truly, literally the dream. They are kind of the definition of what I hope my life looks like in 30 years. Like I would love to be them. That's like the ideal situation for me, or a lot of what they were like living through is the ideal situation. I'm like, that's exactly like, I want that one, you know, like if I'm choosing my life path, like that's what I want. But yeah, they were really, really sweet. The food was super good and also is perfect. perfect because I didn't know any of the other students, so they truly were strangers. The last time I did this, I knew like half of the group, and like one of my like closest friends at the time was in it too, so it was like not really a dinner for strangers. I was like, I know you, I know you, I know you, like I know way too many people in this room right now. But with this one, everyone was like complete strangers. Like obviously we had connections, because that's, if you go to UCLA, you just know that you will always have a mutual, and not just one mutual, it's usually like multiple mutuals. But anyway, so obviously we had mutuals with everyone, but like, well, maybe actually not everyone now that I think about it, but there were definitely a lot of mutual connections. But yeah, no, it was a really cool time. I think it started at like five, well, we got there at 5:15 and we didn't leave until like 10:45, or maybe that's when I got home, but like it was past 10 when we left. It was crazy. It was literally crazy. Like literally at 8 o'clock, they were like, okay, maybe we should let you guys go. It is a school night, the whole thing. And then like we moved into another room and kept talking. And then like 2 hours passed. And finally I was like, wow, we've been here for a really long time and I do not see us leaving. Like I don't see us leaving this place. I was like, let's just sleep over. Like they have a really nice house. I'm sure that they could like host us for a sleepover. So anyways, it was really nice. And then again, like meeting other students, like it was really cool. Everyone was like so supportive too. Like obviously at some point the whole like post-grad conversation came up, because while not everyone was a fourth year, there were like a couple of fourth years in the group. And at some point the question came up where it was like, oh, like for the fourth years, like what are you doing after graduation? And it was good. There were some people who obviously knew exactly what they were doing. And then there were people who, I think there were like four of us that were fourth year. So two of them were like, this is exactly what I'm doing, like the plan is set. And then the other fourth year didn't know what he was doing, which was like, so I love that, because same. But no, not same. Obviously I, like when I was asked, I was like, I'm pursuing my passion projects. And at first I thought maybe like, because like the host had asked, and at first I was like, I don't know if she liked that answer. But then later on I was talking to her, and like she's like an art consultant, like art curator, art consultant. She does a ton of things in the art space, which is like perfect, because who in the world wants to create art? Me, literally me. So I was like, this is super fun. And I was like asking her obviously about her path and how she got to where she is and like what she does now and all that. And it was just really interesting hearing about what she does. And she was like telling me about some people who are like in the art space that are like younger but doing really great things. And I don't know, it was just really cool. It was like the couple was just like the perfect blend, like exactly what I want. He's in finance, like hardcore finance, and then she's more creative art and all that. And I was like, see, like I see myself in you. And then I think ultimately I want to end up with like a finance bro or not want to, but I feel like that's ultimately like the direction that I'm gonna go in, based off of like type of people that I've dated since like I got out of my first relationship, you know? Like I feel like that's, I don't know, who knows actually, but like I just feel like I tend to gravitate towards the finance bros, which say what you will, but it worked out for them. Like they're a beautiful couple and obviously they're thriving and they, yeah. So anyways, but yeah, it was like a really great night. It was a good night, but I think it was just like, sometimes when you do something that's like out of the ordinary for you and you aren't really sticking to your routine, it can be really exhausting. And then there are consequences to it. And obviously I think the consequence to that was just having like a bad day today, because I think the other thing is there was a couple things that happened that just like, okay, I'm gonna tell you guys with the judgment-free zone we have going on here. So for one, there was this guy. Oh my gosh. Okay, look, here's the deal, guys. Here's the deal. I don't think I've really talked about this much, so I might as well talk about it here. I've been single, and I've been very single in the sense that I have been not dating whatsoever. I mean, to be fair, I kind of was like, I don't want to be on the dating apps anymore. Like, I'll do organic dating, but organic dating is literally non-existent here in college. And I actually want to do an episode on this, because I swear dating in college is like a disaster. And I was literally talking about it with this friend that I was, you know, spending time with today. And I was just like, it's so difficult to do it here. Like, I don't know how it's supposed to get better post-grad, but if it doesn't get better, like, I am gonna lose it, because this has been truly the most difficult thing ever. And like you would think that it would be so much easier given the fact that when you're in college, you're literally surrounded by tens of thousands of people who are the same or around the same age as you and like have this sort of connection. Like we're all, obviously we're all different people, but like ultimately like there's a reason why we all ended up at the same school. And I feel like that in itself can bring us together, and yet it's not. But anyways, so I've been very much single. I haven't gone on a date. I haven't talked to a man, the whole thing. And it's one of those things where I just like know that this is going to be continuous for a very long time. I really don't see myself getting into a relationship in this year, like 2024. Right now, I don't see it ever really. And like, there's nothing wrong with that. But also even just like dating, like I don't see myself dating again anytime soon. Yeah, like it's definitely not happening while I'm still in LA, which like I have a month at this point. But then even after that, it's like, I don't think I'm going to be dating when I'm at home. And like, I don't know how long I'm going to be living at home for. So that's one thing. Yeah, I just like, I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening for me. Like I said, I'm okay with that because I do recognize that I'm like at this point in my life where I would rather like focus on building myself, building my career, building what comes next than trying to like find a relationship. And I also recognize that like in order for me to feel content in a relationship or like truly satisfied, I do need to like hit some of my markers of success to get there. And it's going to take a really long time. Well, I don't know, but it's going to take some time to hit those markers of success. And like in the meantime, like that's what I need to be focusing on because I don't want to get into another relationship and be like dissatisfied because I haven't really hit some important goals of mine, you know, like goals where I know, okay, if I hit them, then like I could be a lot more open to a relationship essentially. Anyways, the point is there's no one for me here. Like clearly if there was someone, like I would have found them or like I would find them, but like it, I don't see it happening. But last night for some reason just kind of like rocked the boat in that sense. Like I genuinely was doing so good with that. I was like, this is my mindset, this is my new mindset, like I'm good with that. But for some reason last night I just like, there was a guy and okay, it turns out he has a girlfriend. This kind of like got dropped hour two into the dinner, and when he dropped it I was like, oh, because I found myself sort of like romanticizing it a little bit where I was like, okay, like he's here. And then I was like, oh my god, imagine that's such a cute meet cute. Like, you know when you like start without any reason to do so, you just kind of like take a situation and you like over romanticize it in your head, and then you're basically just creating disappointment for yourself because it's probably not going to happen. Yeah, it was just one of those situations. And like I said, I feel like I'm so good with this kind of stuff. Like I don't do this very often, which I guess is a good thing because clearly I'm a little heartbroken. Not really, but like I'm feeling it a little bit. But yeah, I just like when he dropped that piece of information, I was like, oh. I think essentially what I mean by all of this is he just seemed like an ideal man. Like he seemed to have something about his energy was just, I was just gravitating towards it. And I was like, oh my gosh, like this is kind of refreshing to see because I haven't seen this in such a long time. Like I haven't felt this like energy from a man in such a long time. But obviously like duh, if you have that good energy and like you are an attractive human being, like sure, you're gonna have a girlfriend. Like why should I be surprised? I'm not. But I think it was just a little disappointing because I was like, oh okay, I guess that's just not happening. Even though like I can't guarantee that anything would have happened, but I was just like, oh, like if something could have happened, like it's not gonna happen now, but it's fine, whatever. Like, but I don't know, for some reason I woke up this morning and I was still thinking about it, and I was just like, oh, like why am I thinking about it? Like I think I was just essentially getting a little mad at myself for feeling this way because I was like, you were doing so good with this whole like single thing, like what happened? Like literally what happened? Why did you let like one little moment sway you away from that? So yeah, I mean, I can't lie. Like, I know I just said what I said in terms of like being content with being single, but yeah, I mean, there's a part of me that like would love to be loved again, you know, like I would love to feel that. And like another thing I've thought about recently is like, for example, there was a girl who actually, well, she might be listening to this, but she like DM'd me on TikTok and she was asking for some advice for something. And I talked to her before and like she came back and asked for advice on something different. And so I was like giving her some details or I was giving her some information. I was like, this is what I think you should do, blah, blah. And then at the end of it, she was like, thank you. Like you deserve, I don't know, something about how I deserve like so much love or something like that. Like basically on the basis of like, I just helped her. And like, she was like, you're so sweet. Like you deserve all this love. And I was thinking about it. And then I've seen the statement a lot recently where it's like, I don't know exactly what the statement is, but it's something like you deserve all the love that you give, or like you deserve like the love that you give, like multiplied or something like that, like some sort of statement like that. And I feel like recently I've been trying to be a little bit of like, I'm about to say something and I know people are probably gonna think I'm crazy, but I feel like over the past couple of months, like as I've watched like my whole TikTok thing kind of like grow, and like obviously I've become known for talking about things that are very vulnerable and real, and a lot of people like will come to me with their own stories, and like I'll get a lot of questions about my experiences and people just like wanting help on certain things. Like I do get a lot of DMs where it's like, could you help me out with this, or like could you explain this to me, or like based off of this experience that you had, like I want to know more so that like maybe it'll help me out. And like I'm all for it, but I think at the same time sometimes it's just a lot for me because it's like I'm trying to be, I'm trying to channel this whole like Mother Teresa energy where I'm like, I want to help everyone. I want to be there for everyone. But also I want someone to be there for me. You know, like I want to have someone. And this isn't just people like who come to me from the internet. Like I'm talking about also like even my sister, for example, like when she has stuff going on, like she'll come to me and like, this has always been like this. But I think especially recently, I felt like more overwhelmed by trying to like help everyone and like give everyone kind of like, I don't know if love is the right way, but like just like try and be there, you know, for people. When I definitely would love for there to be someone for me. And obviously like I have my friends and I have my family, but I think I want love. Like I want someone to love me unconditionally and like be there. And to like in the moments that I feel overwhelmed to be there like for me and to like sit down and hear me talk and like embrace me and just be my comfort person in a way. And then also like even in my good moments, like I want them to be there like cheering me on and like so happy that I'm doing amazing and all that. And it's like the only person I feel like I've ever really found that in is like a partner. Obviously, I've only ever had one boyfriend, but like he was very much like that. Like he was sort of my comfort person. And like there's no one in my life that like really replaces that. Like he was such a like unique entity in my life. And I just don't have anyone like that in my life anymore. And I just like, I wish I had that. Like I wish I had that in this current moment, especially with like how my life trajectory has been going. Like things have changed so drastically over the past couple of months. I feel like specifically with the fact that I've just gotten so deep into content creation. And like that was something that I wasn't really like before. It was more of just like a thing I was doing. Now it's kind of like, okay, I have a reach. I'm trying to like really do something with it. Like I'm trying to make something out of it. And I feel like I actually have like a chance here, but it's just so overwhelming at times. Like it's so overwhelming trying to like do it all in a way to try and like put on this happy face at all times and like try and help others. And like, I do think I deserve so much love and I want that love. Like I want it so badly. I just want to feel it because sometimes it's like I'm doing this all on my own and like I love being an independent queen. And like there's also a part of me that recognizes that actually maybe I'm more content being single than being with someone. But it's like I so desperately in this moment want the love back. Like I want some of the love back and I just don't really feel that. And I feel like that's been rough. And I feel like yesterday gave me this like false hope, not even with this guy, but just in general, like all of a sudden for a split second, I was like, oh my God, maybe it's on the horizon. I feel like the other thing that I've been hearing a lot recently is like people being like, you never know when you're gonna meet like your person, like, or like, I think maybe I've even heard, or maybe this is just something that I've thought about, but like, you know, when people are like, you could literally meet your husband tomorrow and you wouldn't even know. I feel like I've been kind of internalizing that energy, like that statement, and being like, oh my God, imagine. And I think it's just given me like this false hope. And it's like obviously so stupid that I'm like letting myself think this way. But like, I don't know, I think maybe I'm just a little desperate for love right now. But I think I always will be, because like I do love love. Like I love it so much. I'm the rom-com romance novels type girly. Like I always have been and I always will be. And now that I've experienced love, it's so difficult, like having to kind of like, and obviously it's been months and months and months now since this has happened, but like having to sort of like pull yourself away from that once you've experienced it is so difficult. And it's so easy to crave it. And like I truly understand why like serial daters exist, because like who doesn't want love? If I could get like a consistent dose of love pretty much all the time, I think I would be so happy. Like I would be so good. But it's not that easy for me. Like unlike serial daters, it feels impossible for me to find people, you know? Like that's why I truly feel like I'm gonna be single forever, because I'm like, it just doesn't seem like it's coming to me anytime soon. It took so long the first time around, and now it feels like it's gonna take again forever. Like truly, like years are gonna pass before I ever find myself in a relationship again. And like I know I have to be okay with that, and I in a way I am, but it's just like I want love. Like I want to feel that. Like I want to feel that again. Like I want to experience that again. And I just feel like I have to just sit here and like be okay with all of this. But it's hard to do that, you know? Maybe some people out there will understand what I'm talking about. It's such an icky feeling too, because like I want to be like independent girl boss queen. Like I want to be able to just like not care, like not feel, not want, but I do. And like no matter how hard I try not to, like I think I always will, because there's that part of me that just like loves love and wants it, like desires it. And no matter how successful I am or how many dreams I'm like achieving, I think I'll always want it. Anyways, so that definitely was just kind of getting me down. I think that was a big thing. And then there was something else, but I don't even want to talk about it because I feel like it's controversial, but like I still have feelings about it. And I'm just like, ugh, I know I should probably not feel this way, but I just do. I don't know. Anyways, I think the other thing about last night is the day went by. And at some point in the night, like at the very, very end, I thought to myself and I was like, wow, today is the first day in a really long time where I didn't feel like I was thinking about my past relationship, really. Like, yes, did it come up probably at some point in the day? Yes. Okay. I'm not saying that I didn't think about it at all, but it was the first day where I really felt like I made it through today and I really truly like enjoyed the day and I enjoyed what happened and I savored the moments and I wasn't in my head thinking about something from the past. And I feel like that is so rare. And I think a big part of it, honestly, although I can't confirm, but a big part of it is just like being in school has like, guys, I can't even explain what the hell is going on here. But basically, since like I want to say October, I've had this problem that happens nearly every time that I'm sitting in class. I cannot explain what it is. I can't explain why my mind does this, but I basically go into this like spiral every time I am in one of my lectures. And this is exactly what happened today. Because like I said, I had such a good day yesterday where I was like, wow, like, oh my God, I feel so good. And then I went to class and I'm sitting there in lecture and I find myself spiraling again. And like I said, this happens in nearly every single lecture I have to sit through. And it's been happening basically since October. And this was a big part of the reason why I ended up breaking no contact back in October. Okay, so see how long it's been. It's been a really long time. At the time, I was really thinking like very much about like breaking no contact in that context. And at this point, obviously, I'm not sitting there being like, I'm gonna go break no contact right now. Like, it's like I still think about it a lot. And like it's like almost as if my brain, as I'm sitting, I kid you not, it's literally every time I sit in lecture, like this is a problem. It's a problem. But also I'm like, I've somehow managed through it for the past, I don't even know now, like 6 months or so. And I have 3 more weeks to go. Like, not even. I have 2 more weeks of lectures, like literally this week and next week, and then I'm done for life. I never have to sit through a lecture again, unless I want to, obviously. But the point is, I have sat through these lectures, spiraled, literally spiraled, come out 100 times worse than I was when I went into that class. And usually I'm thinking about my past relationship and that person. And I don't know why this happens. And I think this is the reason why I've had such a hard time like moving on and moving forward, because that's really the main place that I think about it and spiral about it. Like, obviously I'll have my moments where I think about it, but it's one thing to just like think about it and be like, oh yeah, that happened. Or like, oh my God, yeah, I remember that like event. I remember that memory. And another thing to think about it and then have to keep thinking about it and like spiral over it. And that's what happens in my lectures. And I think that's a part of the reason why I had such a bad day today, because that happened. And it was like, I was doing so good yesterday, like so, so good. And then I went back to my normal state and I was like, oh, like it sucks here. Really hoping and praying that after I'm done with school, I don't feel this way anymore. And I don't have this experience as much, because it's actually like, it's a genuinely a problem, but I've managed through it. I just, you know, I get through every lecture where I sit there and pretty much spiral like without a fail. There's probably been only like a couple where I've been okay. Like it truly is, it's a thing. Anyways, okay. I know that was probably a long, very rambly introduction. Oh my God, yeah, it was so long. I'm so sorry, guys. Like, I wanted this to really be about the topic of the day, but I needed to share. I need to get this off my chest, and that's what podcasting is for me. So it had to be done. Now we can get into the actual topic, okay? Loneliness and friendship. I think they really do go hand in hand. I've sort of become the queen of loneliness, the queen of talking about loneliness. I have done a number of TikToks about it at this point, and the majority of the TikToks that I've done that talk about loneliness have like gotten a good amount of viewage, usually at least like a couple 100,000 views. I feel like most of them have like at least, well, no, actually that's a lie, but at least a couple of thousand likes, the whole thing. So I feel like that is, in a sense, kind of my niche, but it's also not, because I talk about a lot of things, but that is definitely the one that's like the most popular for me right now. And I don't know if it feels like I'm giving like recurring advice every time I talk about it. Obviously, I'm sure that a lot of people have listened to my Pretty Girls, Pretty People Are Lonely episode. That one very much goes in depth with like kind of how to deal with loneliness and like sort of my experience with it. And that was during a time where I truly was spending like 80 to 90% of my time alone. I feel like this quarter, mainly because of content creation, I have A, been spending a lot less time alone, and B, when I am spending time alone, it's very much focused on like building things up. So like, again, I spend a lot of time talking to my phone, and that's something that I wasn't doing before. And that takes up a lot of time. And also I feel like just talking like helps like let things out. Like I don't have to like bottle them up as much. Obviously like last quarter when I was spending a lot of time alone, like, yes, I would get on the podcast every so often and I would share, but that was like once maybe every week or maybe like two times max, because obviously I have a limit on this. Like I only share one episode a week. And so I wasn't doing it super often. And so a lot of the time I wasn't really talking. I guess I have like a way to like let it out beyond just like this podcast. And obviously like actually talking to people. But like I said, because I was spending so much time alone, like talking to people was a little bit more of a rarity for me than it is now. I feel like a lot has been happening and a lot of experiences. And obviously then of course I'm like trying to experience my lasts of college and like do this whole bucket list. So like this quarter in itself has been very different from what it was last quarter. But I think that episode was good because that was like very much when I was like in my kind of lonely girl era where I was just spending a lot of time alone and sort of learning how to be okay with that and like developing strategies. And that's exactly what I was doing. And I think I did it decently successfully because obviously now I have all these strategies and I am like very good with being alone and I don't have a problem spending time alone. But anyways, I am just going to kind of like go through my college experience, kind of talking about my experience with loneliness and then also my experience with friendships and obviously like bringing in different thoughts that I have on all of this, and hopefully it'll resonate with some people, or hopefully it'll make some people feel less alone in the way that they feel. So when before I started college, I definitely very much like romanticized what college was going to look like. And I think a big part of the reason why I did that was because COVID happened and all of a sudden my whole like senior year was taken away from me. And like for me, I had basically told myself at the beginning of my senior year, I was like, you're going to work hard at the beginning of your senior year, but then second semester of senior year, like you get to have fun. You finally get to have the high school experience that you basically missed out on the entire time you were in high school. You get to catch up on it. You get to have fun. Like you don't have to worry as much about school anymore or like trying to do the extracurriculars. You're just waiting for your decisions. And at that point, like there's not a lot you can do about it anymore. So you can just spend more time on your social life and all that. And I was doing like, I was getting into it right before COVID happened. And then COVID happened. And then obviously everything got taken away from me. Like I was so excited about prom and like also going to more like high school parties and stuff like that. Just like hanging out with my friend group because it was like the first time in my life that I had a friend group, which was very short-lived in hindsight. But anyways, you know, the whole thing, like I was super excited about all that. And when I couldn't do that, I channeled all of that energy into kind of dreaming up about what my college life was going to look like. And I was very dead set on the fact that I was not going to repeat what I did in high school. And I was going to do like, I had this whole like mantra of like work hard, play hard situation. Like I wanted to have fun, but obviously like academic weapon because I was an overachiever at heart and I always have been. But like, I also was like social life. Like we're going to actually have a social life this time. Like we're not cheapening out on the whole social aspect of college. Okay. So I was really building it up in my head. I was like, I'm going to go to the football games and the parties and blah, blah. And like, I'm so excited. And then I started college and I didn't get to really go to college. Like, obviously, I was taking classes, but everything was online. And I started in my bedroom at home across the country. And like, I wasn't having the college experience. And it was so devastating. But, anyways, I went into college with this mindset that like college was going to be my time and that I was going to meet like my forever friends. I feel like I need to like explain this, but I think one day I'll probably do like a deeper episode on friendship itself. Friendships have never really been my forte, okay? They've never really been my thing. And I feel like it's a very unfortunate circumstance. I think I probably could have struggled more with friendships. Like if we were to compare me with like other people, maybe like it seems like I'm better off with friendships. But I don't really feel that way because I do feel like I've had my fair share of friendship struggles throughout my life, especially like before college. You know, like I think I've basically been set up from the beginning to kind of have like a difficult time with friendships in like one way or another. And I don't mean that as like, oh, pity me. I just mean that as like, this has kind of been like an ongoing thing throughout my life. I was about to get into the whole like explanation as to what my friendships looked like before I got into college, but that would just be like, we would literally be spending an hour talking about that. So I think I'm gonna have to do like a whole episode on that one day, because I think it is an important topic to talk about. It's something I wanna open up about because I have always felt very alone with that, because I feel like when I look at other people, I'm like, just seems like friendships come so much more naturally to them, you know, like even when I hear like my friends talk about, and again, like it's not, I mean, have I had periods of times in my life where I've had zero friends? Absolutely. Definitely been there. Okay. I remember like in middle school, for example, middle school, high school is even rougher than like being in college and like not really having the best time with friendships. Because like, imagine being in middle school and not having anyone to sit with. So you sit by yourself in a very open cafeteria where literally everyone can see you, and you're like 11 years old and you're obviously super self-conscious, you know, the whole thing. Like that was me. That was my experience. Okay. Like I had that. That was my entire sixth grade experience. I remember I would sit really close to this group, but like I would not interact with them because they weren't friends with me. And I would just sit there by myself and I would eat my lunch and I would just suck it up and deal with it. So that was definitely an experience I had. Freshman year of high school was also rough with friendships. Basically, I had sort of this like weird situation where it was like both in middle school and in high school, I always would start off in a really horrible situation friendship wise. And then with time, it would get better, but it would take a while. It would take a long time to get there. It wouldn't be until like the very end where I finally felt like in a good place with friendships. And then obviously like we would move on to the next thing. So those like good moments with friendships were usually very short lived. And even like some of the friends that I had, like some of my closest friends, like both in middle school and in high school, were people who like in hindsight would say some interesting things or would have some interesting behavior where I'm like, at this point in my life, I don't know if I could necessarily consider that a friend. Like if you're going to be putting me down in one way or another, or if you're going to like be kind of like abandoning me for like something else, that's not really like a friendship in my book anymore. But like at the time I took it because I was like, oh, these are like the closest friends I've had. And this is like the best friendship I've experienced in my life to this date, you know? So that's what I mean. Like I've had a really rough time with friendships prior to college. But for some reason, I was like, college, everything's going to be different. Like, it's finally going to click. And I'm finally, like, I was like, I'm going to go into college. I'm going to meet my forever friends. I'm going to have really close girlfriends and they're going to be my bridesmaid at my wedding and like the whole thing. And I was just so excited about it. And then I actually got here and reality kind of struck. Not really, but it did in a way. I remember right before I left home for the first time. So like December, early January of my freshman year of college, I had, I think like two core friends that I had made prior to like starting at UCLA. One of them was going to be my roommate, my freshman year roommate, but obviously that didn't happen. And then the other one was like my first UCLA friend. And I would FaceTime them, I don't know, maybe like once a week. Like we would FaceTime, we'd catch up, like we'd share our lives. And at the time, I truly believed that these two girls were going to be my bridesmaids. I was like, I found them. We're all good. These are going to be the girls that get me through college, like the whole thing. And well, I do still talk to one of them actually, but like we're not super close. But the other one, I haven't talked to her in years. I met her once. Well, we like the friendship fell through long before this happened. But at some point I did like meet her in person and we were just like at totally different like wavelengths. And like, she was really nice. Like she was really nice, but it was just one of those things where we were like in totally different places in our lives. And I don't even think we could like figure out what to talk about because we were like in such different places. And I was like, it's funny how you were like my closest friend for some time. And that's when I realized, and I'd seen it before, actually, I definitely had seen this like on Instagram somewhere where it was like college is for temporary friendships. That's when I realized that they weren't kidding. Like they were legitimately not kidding about that. My experience with friendships, my main experience with friendships in college, obviously there's some exceptions, but my main experience with friendships in college was that they were very temporary. They were very short-lived. And if I was lucky, I got maybe 6 to 9 months with someone, a good 6 to 9 months before something happened or the relationship just kind of like phased out. And this happened over and over and over again. And sometimes I found myself in the same situation, like genuinely like same situation with different people. There was this one situation that happened multiple times. I was like, this feels like Groundhog Day. Like I already experienced this. Why am I experiencing it again, but with someone else, you know? So this really was college for me. Now, here's the thing. I'm ending college with some really good friendships. And ironically, those good friendships are people that I've known since like almost the beginning, like since freshman year of college. But with both of them, we had a period of time where we weren't friends. And this is another thing that happened. I had situations where I lost friends and then at some point they came back. And sometimes they came back as like, okay, we're still friendly, but like we're not as close as we used to be. But sometimes they came back as like, we're getting close again now. We're kind of getting back to where we were at the beginning. And it's a very interesting situation. I haven't had a singular friendship in college that stuck throughout, like from the beginning to end, and was consistent the entire time. I definitely did not experience that. Okay. But I did experience some variations of, I guess, like you start college with the same people that you end with. It's just like it came at, like it was in different consistencies. Like sometimes I wouldn't talk to them for months on end, and sometimes we would be talking like every day, you know? It's a weird situation. And I think a big part of that just like filtered into this experience of loneliness. Not having like a singular person be consistent in your life can be extremely lonely because you just have these people coming and going and it's really difficult to find genuine friendships. And I think one of my biggest struggles here at UCLA was just finding genuine people to be friends with that like would be there if I ever needed them to be. And I had moments where I felt so insanely alone because while I did in theory have friends, when I would look around, it felt like I had no one to go to when I was in a moment of crisis. So freshman year, I mean, it was exciting because, well, first off, like it started off with me just like meeting people over like Facebook, Instagram, because that's what we were doing at the beginning. It was a lot of like reaching out to people, talking to them. Sometimes it was just like trying to find a roommate. And then sometimes it would turn into like, oh, we're going to be friends instead. I was very like social my first year. And I feel like that's what you have to do, even though my experience was very different from the regular college experience. I was open to meeting anyone. I was open to talking to anyone. Like I was having fun with that. I was loving being social because in high school, I feel like I got this reputation of just being so quiet and like not very social. And I always knew that that wasn't really me. Like I knew I had sort of the social bug to me. Yes, I'm a little bit socially awkward. I still am to this day. In fact, I feel like I've kind of like regressed a little in that sense. Freshman year me could talk to anyone. Senior year me, definitely like I need to muster up some courage to have a conversation with just anyone. You know, like I definitely am a little bit more socially awkward now. Back then I was like good with anything. I was good with any conversation. I could really, maybe not talk to everyone, but I could talk. I could definitely talk. So yeah, like obviously meeting people online was sort of the first thing. And it's funny, I do have like some, like I know I have like one friend to this day from my very first quarter at UCLA. We had a discussion together. And like, again, not a super consistent friendship. There have been times where I've talked to him quite often. And there are times that I've talked to him like not at all. Then like, obviously I moved to Hawaii and meeting a lot of people there. Also just like living with people for the first time. And you know, there were some hits and there were some misses. The two closest friends I have at UCLA to this day are people that I met there. But then also like a lot of the people that I lived with, like I don't even talk to this day. Actually, fun fact, today I, with one of my close friends from Hawaii, ran into one of my freshman year roommates who lived in Hawaii with me, who I haven't seen in like 2 years. And I was like, oh my gosh, hello. I'm so glad to see that you're still here, because it's like we've lived in totally different spheres of the world for such a long time. And all of a sudden, like he was just there. And I was like, oh my gosh. So there's that. And then when I moved to LA, my spring quarter, I was little social butterfly. I was going out. I was meeting people at frat parties, at apartment parties. I was meeting everyone. I was hanging out with everyone. Like, you know, if I met someone like at a party, I'd be like, let's hang out. And then we would hang out. It was such a social moment for me. And it was so good because like, were any of these, well, I think also it was good because I did feel at the time that I had very close friendships. Specifically, oh my God, I don't know what just happened, but it sounded like something just peeled, but like as if someone peeled it, and I'm getting kind of creeped out. Like what just peeled in my apartment? I'm so scared. Anyways, I did have my roommate at the time was my really, really close friend from Hawaii. And it was great. Like I always had her, but then also I was like going out and meeting new people. And like, obviously a lot of these were very surface level friendships. Like I hung out with them once or twice in that quarter, but it was good. Like it was good and I was enjoying it and I loved meeting new people and it was great. I was also like forming some closer friendships too, like outside of my one friendship with my roommate. There were a couple of people who like started to become more prevalent in my life who I like met at the beginning of that quarter. And then like with time, we started hanging out more and all that and we got closer. And there's specifically one girl who I became very close with. And then she was very like present at the beginning of my sophomore year. And then shortly after I got into my first relationship, our friendship phased out. I'll get to that because that one really like kind of hurt. Like that was like a true friendship breakup where I like, and like nothing bad happened. It was just one of those things where it like phased out, but I was super sad about it for quite a while. Like there were a couple of months where I still thought about her and I kind of was like, I wish she would reach out, but she just like won't. And the whole condition under which it ended was the fact that I just felt like she wasn't putting in effort from her side. And it almost felt like I wasn't sure whether she actually wanted to be friends with me. And I was just hoping that maybe like if I took a step back and I stopped putting in all the effort, she would like demonstrate that she was interested by putting in some effort, like trying to plan something, but she didn't. And so we just never hung out again. And yeah, I was like devastated about that because she truly was like my closest friend at the time. And I lost her and it felt like I was losing a big part of myself. And that was when I started to feel, well, it was like already, I kind of before that even like felt very lonely, like felt like I couldn't even go to her like when I was struggling with things, even though like she was in theory my closest friend at the time and like I told her so much and I spent so much time with her. But anyways, so freshman year, I mean, yeah, obviously like it was a weird situation just because like it wasn't the normal freshman year experience, but I feel like I was doing good. Okay, like I felt like I was doing good and I was really enjoying socializing and I was having a good time with it and it was just fun. Like it was fun and I was doing really well mentally too, like no real like mental struggles at the time. I was in a really good place. Okay, so I come back for my sophomore year and I'm like, we are about to do spring quarter freshman year part two. It's going to be the same thing. It's going to be great. I love the socializing. I love the going out. I love the mental health slaying. Like, it's going to be a fun time. But I think very early on into that quarter, like I was basically just trying to repeat everything I was doing before. But very early on, reality started to strike. And I started to realize that this was not going to be the same situation. Things were not going to be all rainbows and butterflies. It was not going to be all beautiful and gorgeous, you know? And at this point, I had joined a sorority and I was trying really hard to like create friendships in there and find a community there. And I felt like, you know, I think because everyone was like finally on campus and like it truly felt like we were all in college now, it was kind of one of those things where it was like, yeah, like I do go to a really big school. And like in order to feel as if you have like a community in that school, like you need to find one. And I thought I would find that in my sorority and I didn't. And so it was very isolating. And like, again, yeah, I had friends. It wasn't that I didn't have friends, but I think that it was just like, it never felt like any of the friends that I had were people that I could go to in a time of crisis. If something bad happened to me, they weren't really going to be there for me. And like, yes, were there times that like something happened and my friends were there for me? Absolutely. But I meant like, I don't think I could ever really have like a deep conversation about like experiences, like vulnerable experiences that I was having. And in my fall quarter of my sophomore year, a lot of really vulnerable things happened and I felt like I couldn't really talk to anyone about them. Even though there were people that I spent so much time with, like I didn't feel like I could talk to them about it. So it just kind of got like written off as like, oh, it's just not something you talk about with your friends. But then it's like you're bottling it up. And, you know, with time, I started to feel lonelier and lonelier because it was like I'm experiencing this completely on my own. Like there is no one to talk to. There is no one to kind of like, there are people who literally were there as I experienced it. And yet I can't have a conversation with them about it. You know, like I can't talk about how I'm truly feeling. And it's just becoming all this like pent up energy, like pent up frustration. And I think that's why like by the end of that quarter, I really was dangling by a thread because I was just so much like bad happened and I didn't have any way to release it. Like I didn't have any way to like let it go a little bit. It was very difficult. It was very difficult. And I think that's when I started to like fall into sort of this like feeling of loneliness at times where despite the fact that it seemed like I had such a great social life and I had all these friends, it didn't actually feel like I really had anyone. I felt immensely lonely because I was like, yeah, I have all these people, but at the end of the day, like if something happens, I have no one. It's kind of one of those things where like I had this thought actually when I moved into my apartment this year where I was like, if I were to like collapse, like if I were to just like faint right now, or no, but like if I were to fall like deeply ill and I had to be taken to the hospital, I don't think anyone would have like come to help me. Like I don't think any of my friends would go out of their way to help me. And luckily I've been fine and I don't think that's going to happen to me, but I'm just thinking like if something were to happen to me, like I don't think anyone in my life here who's where I am currently present would come to my side. And like, I'm okay with that now, but I think that thought at the time was insanely daunting because I was like, I feel like these friendships are very surface level because I do feel like if you truly are like a good, good friend of mine, I can rely on you not just when I want to go out and like have a good time or when I just like want to go study or something like that. I can rely on you if some crisis comes to me and I'm having a difficult time handling it on my own. And I didn't have that. And I think a lot of people in college feel that way. And the problem with college is like, if you don't have that, or if you don't have that community, it's insanely tough to deal with it because many times you are far away from home and you don't usually, like if you were home and you were going through something, you could talk to your parents or maybe your siblings, you know, like there's someone in your life who's nearby who could help you out. Or even if you don't want to talk about it, maybe they can, you know, recognize that you're going through something and try and help you without like forcing you to talk about it, you know? Or just like even the company of like knowing you're around people who love you, who will do anything for you, even if sometimes it doesn't feel like that, that lets you breathe a little bit. When you're in college and you're basically surrounded by all these strangers, and yes, maybe you do have friends, but like if you were to find yourself in a situation where you needed someone and you recognize no one in your life would actually probably be there for you, that is very difficult. Because I feel like truly the way to like successfully, because college is really difficult. Like it's a difficult time in your life. If you're moving away from home, it's difficult because you don't have comfort. Like there is no comfort in college, okay? Like having that comfort person or that comfort thing is so important to help you get through it. And I feel like a lot of people don't have that. And I think sometimes we think like comfort person, we think like significant other, but it could also just be like a best friend, you know? Like if you have a best friend, it's like, you know that they're gonna be there for you no matter what. And I didn't have that. And I've never had that during my college experience. And well, no, that's a lie because I did get into a relationship, but that's, we're going to get into that in a moment. But it's just like, in a way, like even though I had all these friends, it felt like I was actually so alone because I didn't have anyone who was genuinely there for me. And like, am I sitting here saying that I was genuinely there for other people? No. I mean, I think it was just one of those things where like all the friendships that I did form, it was like there was never this kind of agreement that, oh, we're going to help each other out. It was always kind of like, okay, like you're the person that I like to go out with, or you're the person that I study with. I think a big thing with college is it sort of forced me to really lower my expectations for friendships. I don't think that's necessarily a good thing, but I think it had to be done in order to manage through friendships and be okay with the friendships I have. Because I think the other thing is I was very like discontent with the friendships I had, because I was like, sometimes I feel like I'm putting so much effort in and I'm getting nothing from the other side, and I can't tell if you want to be friends with me or not. And in general, I would say like if you feel like the friendship is very one-sided, like that's not a friendship. That is not a friendship that you want to be in. And I obviously like walked away from a lot of those friendships. Like for me, it's like I've walked away from so many friendships because either it felt one-sided or something happened and it was like you kind of screwed me over a little bit, or you just like put me in an uncomfortable position and I don't appreciate that. I remember like literally freshman year, before I even ever moved away from home, something happened with this girl that I was really close with at the time. And I basically like essentially felt as if I'd gotten screwed over. And like, it wasn't just like I felt that way. Like other people were like, no, you got screwed over with that one. It was a situation where I just felt like I'd been kind of completely screwed over and completely blindsided by it, because I was like, we were so close and you said that, you know, you said this one thing and then you did something completely different. And like, there was no warning that you were gonna do this either. And like, I don't think that's fair. And when it happened and I called my dad and I told him like, oh, this happened, because it had to do with like housing, like finding a place to live. And obviously my dad was very heavily involved in that. He literally told me, he was like, you can't be friends with her anymore. He was like, that's not fair to you. Like, don't let yourself be friends with someone who's going to do that to you. And after that, I had this scenario happen again multiple times in different variations, but also like I had that reoccurring situation happen with other people in my life. And every time I kind of like just thought about what my dad said and I was like, I have to walk away from it, even though I don't necessarily really want to walk away from it. If you're going to screw me over like that, I deserve better. And like, I'm not going to stand up for, or I'm not going to stand by like someone doing something that truly is like kind of disrespectful. Like all it took was for you to just be a little bit more considerate and to recognize that I am like a human who has feelings and all that. And like, since you clearly didn't do that, I can't have you in my life, you know? And I think that's important. It's an important mindset to have, because people are going to screw you over. And like, you can't just like, and this goes for relationships too, but like, you can't just go sit there and be okay with it and be like, yeah, but we had such a great friendship. If someone's truly screwing you over, You have to walk away from it. Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, it's going to be difficult to like let go of a friendship that was seemingly so good. But was it really that good if they screwed you over? No. A real friend, a good friend is not going to screw you over, okay? And yes, we all make mistakes, but if it's a mistake where it's like you weren't even thinking, like you weren't even thinking about me in that, you have to walk away from it. Like you have to walk away from it. And so I did this time and time again throughout college, and I think that's why I had all these. And again, look, I'm not saying I'm a perfect person. I'm not saying I'm a perfect friend. I think ultimately, like it truly is that in college, we're just trying to figure it out. We're trying to figure out how to be like better people, how to navigate life with other people. Like there is so much learning to be done. And I think that's why things like this happen. And honestly, a lot of these friendships that I did ultimately like have to end in the moment. I talk to them now, like we're friendly or even really close, actually. Like some of the friendships that I had, I'm like really, really close with them now. It's just like, obviously in that moment, things happened and had to step away, but it's like, that doesn't mean we can't ever be friends again. It's just, I need to see something change for us to be friends again, you know? Like, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. And I think truly in college, like we all make mistakes, things happen. Sometimes it's difficult to like be honest about things. And then, you know, it ends up like screwing someone over. Like, am I making excuses for people? No, but I am saying like people change and that's okay. Like, that's okay. It's okay that people change. And like, I think everyone deserves like a second chance. It's just like, if I am going to give you a second chance, I need to see that things have changed essentially. Okay. So that's kind of the whole thing that I learned from all of this. But anyways, I think with that, like having those experiences, and then also just like, even though it seemed like I had all of these friends, feeling as if I didn't actually have anyone to go to if like all hell broke loose, I did start to feel very lonely and isolated from people. And I had a lot of moments where, again, it felt like I just couldn't tell whether someone actually wanted to be friends with me, even though I considered them one of my closest friends. So that quarter ended. Then my second quarter of my sophomore year comes around. And I think this is where I really started to feel the effects of not having people in my life, even though ironically, I found who ended up being my quote unquote comfort person for quite a while. But I just remember there was this one night. Okay, so that quarter starts, I get into a relationship. And very early on in our relationship, so basically like in the time that we were living in LA, like dating and living in LA, my mental health continuously declined. And I started to have these like mental breakdowns, and they were kind of like unprompted. They would just kind of show up in my life. And the thing with these mental breakdowns is they would usually happen later in the night. And my family is on the East Coast. So usually by the time that these mental crises would happen, my mom and sister were already sleeping. My dad usually was awake, but my dad is a lot harder to reach. And sometimes I wouldn't be able to get through to him. And so then there was no one from my family who I could talk to. And I remember there was this one night very early on to me dating my boyfriend at the time, where I don't know what happened, but we had gone to the gym. I think I probably hadn't eaten in a while. I was probably really tired. There was probably a lot of things going on in this moment that like led to this. But we had gone to the gym, and then we went to Trader Joe's, and then we were going to make vodka pasta when we got back to his apartment. Like, I'm super excited about it, the whole plan, right? We got back to his apartment, and by the time that we got back to his apartment, I was feeling very bad mentally. Like, I was not feeling good. And I proceeded to lock myself into his bathroom. And I'm surprised. I don't know. Okay, whatever. It's fine. Like, it was very early on in our relationship where it wasn't like I felt truly comfortable going to him when I was experiencing this. I proceeded to lock myself into his bathroom, and he decided, okay, he'll just make the vodka pasta by himself for us. For some reason, it took him like an hour and a half to make this vodka pasta. Like, it doesn't take more than 30 minutes. For some reason, it literally took him like an hour and a half. And this entire time, I was sitting in his bathroom having a mental breakdown, losing it, okay? I wasn't comfortable enough to go to him and be like, I'm not doing good. Like, can you please try and support me? Like, just be here for me right now. So I'm sitting in this bathroom. I remember I was like super overwhelmed with school. Like, I had a ton of assignments due exactly that night. It was already like 9:10 o'clock. I was like, it's due at 11:59. Like, I'm so stressed. I'm not feeling good, blah, blah. And I try calling my dad. He doesn't pick up. I'm like, probably, I think I was like sobbing, like breaking down. I was like, I need to talk to someone. I need to talk to someone. But I wasn't ready to go to my boyfriend at the time. And I remember thinking in my head, I was like, who here can I call? Like, I wasn't on campus, so there wasn't anyone that I would have been able to go to. But I was like, which one of my friends can I call? And I was kind of going through the rotation of the people that I like was closest to at the time. And I was like, I can't call any of these people. I can't burden them, because it would be a burden. It would feel like a burden because I don't feel like we have that kind of friendship. And eventually I called my high school best friend who lived across the country. She was also on the East Coast, luckily was up at the time. And she talked me through it. and I felt a lot better at the end of it. And it was like really my saving grace in that moment. But that was so, it really put into perspective the fact that I truly, like, in that moment, didn't have anyone here in LA, any of my friends at UCLA, anyone that I called a friend at UCLA to go to in this moment of weakness. And that made me feel so insanely alone. I felt so alone. And that was around the time that I had a harder and harder time going to campus because I didn't really feel like I had anyone there. And when I would go to campus, I would feel very down mentally. Like it was just, it felt so gloomy. Like I did not feel good every time I went to campus. So I was always just trying to do like a quick in and out, like go for my class and then try and go back to my boyfriend because he was my comfort person at the time. You know, like he was the only person that brought me just a little bit of relief. And obviously like over time as a relationship developed, then I felt like I could go to him with anything. But obviously at the beginning, it's like when it's an early relationship, you're still not like fully comfortable being like totally yourself and like unleashing your little beasts on them and being like, yeah, I actually have these problems. Like I actually have mental breakdowns late at night and like I start breaking down crying and like no one can do anything about it, you know? So yeah, when I would get to campus, like again, it's in theory, I had friends. It wasn't that I didn't have friends, but it didn't feel like I had anyone to go to. And I know there are going to be people out there who are going to be like, well, then you've never actually experienced loneliness. Loneliness is a feeling. It is not a state of being. You never know who is feeling lonely and who's not. You could see someone who has the most perfect social life from the outside. You never know if they're feeling actually insanely lonely. I know you may not think it's justified, but it absolutely is. Everyone's feelings of loneliness is valid. And it doesn't matter whether that means that they seem to have the most perfect social life or they have seemingly zero friends. It's not abnormal to feel lonely. It's not abnormal to have that experience. And ironically, I feel like recently, as I've had people reach out, a lot of the people who I've like heard from are like in Greek life, interestingly enough. Like I've seen a lot of them in Greek life and I'm like, huh, this seems to be a reoccurring issue. And like I said, I had my experiences. I was in Greek life. I felt completely alone in the experience. Did I have friends? Yes. If you had asked me who my friends were, I could have given you a list. But that didn't mean I didn't feel lonely, you know? I feel like that's actually a lot of people who are probably listening to this. You know, if I were to ask you right now, like write down a list of people you call your friends, you could probably give me a list. Maybe it's two people, maybe it's five, maybe it's 10, maybe it's 20, you know? But at the same time, you've experienced some form of loneliness in one way or another. Don't compare yourself. Like, don't compare yourself, okay? And don't beat yourself down if you're like, yeah, but I do have all these friends. Like, I feel like I shouldn't feel lonely. Like, that's totally normal. It's totally normal to feel that way. Sometimes we do have absolute periods of solitude and there's no one in our life. But sometimes we have periods of like, there seems to be a lot of people in our life, but truly the way we feel is we feel like we don't really have anyone truly in our life. Like, we feel lonely, you know? And this, I feel like, is just such a misconception. And I saw this like comment on one of my TikToks recently, and it was like, oh, well, if you go to her Instagram, like the last picture she posted is at a party. Like, she knows nothing about loneliness. Ask someone who has zero friends. And I was like, how do you know my story of loneliness? Like, how do you know? Please tell me how a picture of me, by the way, I was working, fun fact, Bumble ambassador here. Tell me how a picture of me at said work event explains the whole story of what my journey with loneliness has looked like. You don't know. And obviously now I'm telling you guys my experience with it. And obviously I feel like I'm kind of downplaying it because it's like right now I feel like I'm in a good place. Do I feel immensely lonely? No. I feel like I'm in a good place and it's not something that I deal with on a day-to-day basis as I have in the past. But I think if I could speak on it in a period of time where I am feeling immensely lonely, you would probably hear like a lot more of that struggle. I would share a lot more about like, this is exactly how I'm feeling right now. And it would probably relate to that. I could obviously wait around and do this episode when I'm like actually feeling lonely again, like truly, truly dealing with that. But I wanted to talk about it because I've talked about it a lot and I feel like this is a good time to talk about it. I really did struggle a lot with that. I struggled with just feeling like I didn't have a place to be or community to be around people to be like, I just really struggled with that my sophomore year. And I think a big part of it was like that loneliness was ultimately derived, I think, because I was feeling very discontent in life in general. I was struggling mentally. I was struggling physically. I was struggling emotionally. Like everything in my life was just very difficult at the time. And I think that probably really worsened that experience of loneliness. Obviously, I probably would have felt it just a little bit. I think like if my life had been really great, maybe I would have felt it sometimes. Yeah, like maybe sometimes I would have been like, like I wish I had people that I really felt close to and I didn't feel as lonely. But I think because everything was just so difficult in my life at the time, that really like heightened the feeling of loneliness. in hindsight, if I think about it, I'm like, well, but you had a boyfriend, girly pops. Like, you had someone. Like, I would die to have that right now, you know? But I think in that moment, because everything else was just so bad, it was so difficult to kind of just like be like, but you do have this one person, like, you're fine, you know? Like, because I did still feel very lonely. I did. And that's just how I felt. And like, I'm valid for feeling that way, just as you are valid for feeling however you felt with loneliness in your time of life. So then I obviously move out of LA. I'm like, okay, I'm transferring out of UCLA. And all of a sudden, this like weight has been kind of released. And I spent, and this is really where I say like, and I learned this in a class. So I say it as I've learned this, but also loneliness truly is a feeling, not a state of being. Because I then moved to New York. And again, I had a boyfriend, love. We were living together. So was I spending a lot of time alone? No. But outside of my boyfriend, I didn't have friends in the city. I had one friend. I think I saw her like 3 or 4 times in those 2 months that I lived in New York. I didn't make any friends. I, you know, didn't really have like social events with other people my age beyond my boyfriend at the time. But I was so good. I was so good. Like, I was in such a good place. I was so happy. I never felt alone. I never felt lonely. I was having the time of my life. And I truly think it was because of the environment. Like, I was really thriving in that environment. And all of a sudden, life was looking up. My mental health was in a good place. I felt physically well. I felt mentally well. I felt emotionally well. And because of that, the fact that I didn't have really any friends in the city, I didn't have girls or even guys, like friends to go to if I ever wanted to do something with, or like just to talk to or whatever, was not a problem for me. It wasn't. It was never a problem for me. Okay. I never doubted once where I was like, it would be nice to have some people here, like beyond my boyfriend. I was good. And then kind of a similar thing happened when I moved to Miami. And this is, again, I think it really is about like the environment that you're in and sort of the whole like your overall state of being. Like, if your overall state of being is positive, if it's good, then you're probably not going to feel as lonely. If it's bad, you're going to feel it a lot more. A lot more. Okay. It's really about state of being. Moved to Miami. And again, now I was living alone, which was an amazing experience. I loved living alone. I still love living alone, but I was living alone. Again, still had this boyfriend, which I feel like, okay, maybe if he hadn't existed, yes, maybe I would have had a harder time with that. Maybe I would have felt a lot more lonely. Who knows? I can't go back and change that. He just existed in my life. But again, beyond him, I didn't really have like a ton of friends. Like, did I make some friends in the time that I was at the University of Miami? Absolutely. One of my closest friends to this day is someone that I met at the University of Miami. But it's funny because we weren't even that close for the longest time while we were in school together. It wasn't until like closer to like our friendship got really strong after my breakup. But I would see her maybe like, if I was lucky, I would see her maybe like every 2 weeks. Like, again, we didn't see each other too often. And then I had a couple of other friends that I would see here and there. But again, like there were times where I would go like weeks on end without hanging out with someone. And then of course also I was in a long distance relationship, so there were obviously times where my boyfriend was with me like 24/7 and it was great. But then there were also, you know, weeks that would go by where he wasn't there, and then also I wasn't necessarily seeing anyone. And again, I was close to family. Like, it was a good situation. Ultimately, was I textbook definition of lonely? No. But obviously I did spend a lot of time alone. I just didn't really feel lonely. Like, I felt okay. I felt okay with spending a lot of time alone. I felt okay with going days on end without seeing anyone, without talking to anyone in person. I felt okay with that. And I think it really was, again, like the environment. And it's funny because in a way, like my mental state, like my state of being at times was really not great. I hit my lowest point of my life while I was in Miami. I struggled a lot mentally until I finally was able to like get help and start kind of that process of like that journey of getting better. But I definitely struggled a lot like mentally. But I think beyond that, I would say, I don't know, it's really hard to explain what the phenomenon here was and why it was so different from when I was at UCLA. But I think ultimately it was just like baseline, the environment. The environment was different and I just thrived in it. And it was something about the energy. It was something about the air. It was something about not, I think, caring as much anymore. Like, I still cared a lot at the time. I think I care a lot less now than I did like before. But I feel like, I think another thing is just like comparison is the thief. Caring a lot about what other people are doing or what other people are thinking of you ends up putting you in a worse mental state. I experienced that a lot during my early years of college, I did care so much about what other people thought. And I think that made me feel very lonely because sometimes I would compare myself to other people and I'd be like, wow, they have the most perfect social lives. Like, I'm sure that they've never felt lonely. But the reality was, like, I think on the outside, you probably could have thought the same about me. I genuinely think that there are people in my life, like people that I consider friends, acquaintances, who have this conception of me because of the way that they like behave towards me, have this conception of me being just a very social person with like a ton of friends. And is that how I actually feel? No, I've never felt that once. Well, no, that's a lie, but I don't feel that. I think that I have a lot of like, I guess, surface level friendships, like acquaintances, like people I know. And sure, from time to time, yeah, I'll go hang out with one of them. And it's like, now we add a new character into the book, but then I don't see them again, or I don't see them again for like months and months and months. So it's like, there's a difference between having those genuine friendships and then having those surface level friendships. You can't rely on those surface level friendships. Yes, they're fun for a night when you want to go out, or like, if you want to go out to brunch one day, like, cool, I'll go hang out with you. It's great. And obviously some people, like when I see them, and like, even though I haven't seen them in months, I do connect with them very easily and it's great, but I don't talk to you on a daily basis or even a weekly basis or even necessarily a monthly basis. It's basically just, we try and see each other every so often, but like months can go by without seeing each other. And then we see each other again. It's like, I love this friendship that I have with you. It's not a genuine friendship where it's like, if something were to happen, or if I just wanted to talk to someone randomly, like I could go to you. But yeah, for some reason, when I was in Miami, I just like, I felt okay. I felt okay with that kind of stuff, even though I was struggling with other things. And I really do think it ultimately was just the environment. I felt good in that environment. And that was like the most important thing. And that really helped me. That kind of saved me from like feeling that way again. Because I think, yeah, like if I think about the way that I lived my life, I could have definitely felt lonely at times. And also, like, if you think about it, it's like, why did I feel lonely at the beginning of my relationship when I was in LA, but then didn't feel lonely later on in my relationship when I was in Miami or even New York? You know, like, what's the difference there? And I think ultimately it was just environment for me. I'm not saying that's for everyone, but I'm just saying like sometimes the root cause of it is actually something completely different than actually like you actually like are in a lonely state or you are very alone. Like there are people who are good with solitude and there are people who aren't good with solitude. And it really is, it's a mindset ultimately. It's not the actual state of being. Like there are people who can be so okay with being alone and they love their life and they don't feel lonely. And then there are people who have to spend time alone and they're like, this is terrible. I can't do this. And they feel immensely lonely, you know? Like it really depends on person to person and scenario to scenario, you know? In some scenarios we're good, we can be alone and be okay with it. But in some scenarios, we're not good. And we feel crazy lonely when we have to spend time alone, or even if we don't have to spend time alone, but it just feels like we don't have anyone in our life that's like fulfilling that role of like, we're gonna keep you not feeling alone or feeling lonely, you know? I don't know if that makes sense. But the point is like, I think you get the point at this point. It really is about feeling, not state of being. Also, I have to say one thing. As I've opened up the conversation about loneliness, and I've talked about it on social media, and obviously people I know, either my friends or acquaintances, have seen it. I found myself hearing it from them. People who I thought had it all together, had great friendships and all that, share that they relate. You know, like I was sitting here looking at them and I was thinking, you probably don't actually know what the experience of loneliness is like. And now that I'm opening up this conversation, they're like looking me dead in the eye and they're like, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't know that. You know, I didn't know that. I didn't ever think it. Like we make these assumptions about other people and we like truly believe those assumptions, and those assumptions are not necessarily right. It's easy to assume, but those assumptions are usually not right. You don't know anything about what's going on in someone's mind because they likely aren't telling you. So don't go around assuming that everyone else has it all together and is not lonely whatsoever, and you're the only person feeling that way, because you really don't know. You do not know, okay? And it's very easy to assume, especially when you see people with like huge friend groups, you're like, wow, their life slays. If only I had their life, I wouldn't feel lonely. You have no clue. You have absolutely no clue. And maybe they aren't lonely, which is great for them, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to feel lonely at some point in their life, okay? Maybe they're just not experiencing it now. That doesn't mean they're never going to experience it. I truly believe that everyone has some experience with loneliness at some point in their life, whether it's earlier in life or later in life, and that's just how it goes. Fast forward to this year, senior year. Oh my gosh, she's graduating. Slay. I come back to UCLA. And here's the thing. I knew that environment was going to be an issue for me. I came into UCLA with this mindset of like, I'm not going to sit here and assume that everything's going to be better because I was gone for a year or that things have changed. I'm not going to assume that it's going to be rainbows and butterflies because it's my senior year. I'm going to assume the worst because let's remember, I was so insanely miserable here that I had to transfer out of UCLA to feel okay again. So why do I think going back is going to be like so much more of a better experience this time around, you know? So I assume the worst. I went into it with this mindset of like, it's only a year, like no matter how miserable, no matter how difficult it is, I'm just going to suck it up and deal with it. And I know that sounds depressing, but that was the best mindset to have because I didn't want to create unrealistic expectations for myself and then get disappointed when I came back. Because I did actually do that when I transferred to the University of Miami. I remember thinking to myself, I was like, this is going to be so much better of an experience. I'm going to have so many friends and we're going to go out. And it was sort of the same way that I thought of college before I started college. Like I was kind of doing that again where I was like, UM is going to be so great. I'm going to make all these friends. I'm not going to feel lonely. Like it's going to be great and all that. And like, it just didn't end up being that, but it was okay because I was okay with it. I ended up being okay with the fact that my reality did not meet my expectations. Yeah, I think maybe sometimes I was a little disappointed that it didn't. I was kind of hoping that like I was going to be right. I was hoping there was going to be this quick turnaround from my time at UCLA to my time at the University of Miami, and I was going to end up loving the University of Miami because I think ultimately deep down it took a lot of convincing to be like, okay, I am going to go there because it wasn't exactly my top choice. I think in a way it's like I was doing it more on a need basis than a want basis. Like I was like, I need to leave rather than like, I want to go to the University of Miami. And so I was just kind of hoping that like, I would have a really great experience. And then I'd be like, see, it was worth it. It was worth coming here. You know, like it ended up being great. And I got everything I wanted out of college experience. And now I'm glad that I ended up here. That was sort of my mindset on the whole thing. But obviously it didn't end up being that. And I was okay. Like ultimately I was okay with that. And I think it was just be like state of being at the time. Like I had a lot more of a positive outlook even when I didn't, but I didn't want to do that again. Like I was like, I've already done this once. Like I can't fool myself a second time if I already know. So I came with this mindset, and ultimately I think that this year has been, you know, significantly better than what my experience at the end of my sophomore year was like the last two quarters. And I'm grateful for that. Like I'm grateful for that. But I think a big part of it is also the fact that I have been able to handle things better because I definitely learned a lot of strategies to manage through what I feel like is anything in life in my time at the University of Miami, and also just like basically my time away from UCLA. So like from the end of my sophomore year to the beginning of my senior year, there's so much that I learned from the journey that I took, my mental health journey, just kind of my journey of like loving myself, like the whole thing. And so much good came out of that. Yes, it was tough. It was tough going through those struggles, but ultimately I came out stronger and I came out with all of these like habits and strategies that helped me keep going even when life feels like it's going to end on me at any moment. Like today, for example, I recognize like I just need to go back to my habits, go practice the things that I know make me feel good. And like I've learned my routine that like helps me do that. And so all I have to do is just go back and do that. And I'm not going to say that it's going to make me feel like 100 times better, but I mean, like it's probably going to make me feel just a little bit better, just a little bit more whole. It's going to make me feel a little more content because it's like, this is my routine. Like I'm used to this routine and that feels comfortable for me. But anyways, the point is my first quarter back, I definitely struggled with a lot of things again. And I think loneliness was a big one. And this is where I started to kind of like think about it a lot more. And like I was taking a class at the time called Health Psychology, like Introduction to Health Psychology. And there was like a lecture on, I think, loneliness. And like, this is where I learned that loneliness is a feeling, not a state of being, and kind of just like how loneliness can affect us, like what physiological consequences it has, or like health consequences it has on us. And it put things into perspective for me where I was like, okay, I know that I find myself experiencing this, like how can I avoid it? Because it's a feeling. And like, in a way you can try and manipulate your feelings so that you feel differently. It takes a lot of work, but like if you can find a way to do that and you're having negative feelings, like that's a good thing to do. Like it's a good coping strategy to have. I'm always for feeling, like let yourself feel and don't be mad at yourself for feeling a certain way. But also like if you're gonna just sit there and like dwell on the feeling and just kind of like pity yourself, think about it this way. There is so much you can do to feel better. And I think it's important that we give ourselves a chance to feel better. Anyways, I move here. I'm living alone. I have what I would say is like really just one core friend at the time. And obviously at the beginning when I first got here, there were so many people I wanted to catch up with. So like my social calendar was booked and busy for maybe the first two or 3 weeks of school, and it was great. Like, it was fun catching up with people, but again, these are like surface level friendships where I would see them once and that was it. But then after like the third or fourth week, things kind of fizzled out, and then I was more and more on my own, and I was spending like 80 to 90% of my time alone. And like, living alone really does contribute to that, which, like, say what you will, I enjoy living alone, but it is, at times it can be a little bit of a struggle because you like look around and it seems like everyone else is always doing stuff, and you have to remember, like, that's because they live with other people. Like, they're always gonna have people around them, you know? And so obviously automatically you can go ahead and assume that they're not lonely because they always have people around them, but that's definitely not the case, okay? Like, you can have roommates and still feel lonely. That's totally a thing, you know? Like, I've been there before. Like, I lived with three people in a little shoebox my sophomore year, you know, my sophomore year dorm. I still felt lonely. Just because I had people around me nearly 24/7 doesn't mean that I didn't feel that way. But anyways, so I'm spending like 80 to 90% of my time alone. And at first I was okay with it because, like I said, I also spent a lot of time alone when I was in Miami, and I was genuinely okay with it. I didn't fall into patterns of loneliness, but I think because of the environment, with time, I started to find myself feeling lonely. I started to feel myself having these moments where I just felt so, so alone and so lonely. And I was like trying to convince myself otherwise, but in my soul, I was feeling it. Like, it was a feeling that I was having internally, and I could feel it through my body. I was in this class about health psychology, and I'm learning all of this stuff, and I'm like, it's a feeling, not a state of being. You can change it. You have the power to change that feeling. And that's when I started this journey of trying to love being alone, trying to, even though my environment made it very difficult for me to be okay with it, trying to be okay with it regardless. And yes, I had moments where I absolutely overthought everything. I had moments where I found myself comparing to other people, even though I didn't have this problem like a year ago when I was in my, well, at least not as like strong as I've had it while I'm here at UCLA. But I would find myself like falling back into familiar patterns that just never made me feel good. And it was so difficult. Like, I was trying so hard to kind of curtail that, but also I would have my moments where I was like, I feel this again. And in that moment, I was like, I have this power to change this. And that's where I started to kind of create these strategies for myself. And I talk a lot about it in my Pretty Girls, Pretty People Are Lonely episode. I talk about the strategies that I have. I talk about learning how to be not just okay, but to love the time that you spend alone. Instead of like, because I feel like a lot of times when people are like thinking about loneliness, they're like, if I had other people in my life, I'd be totally okay. And that's not necessarily it. Having people in your life isn't necessarily going to solve the problem. So in order to kind of solve the problem, you have to learn how to be good with yourself. Like, you have to learn how to love the time you spend alone. And also just like not wait around for other people to come into your life to finally start living it. Because I feel like a lot of times we put our life on pause because we're like, we don't have anyone to do things with. So like, there's no one to like live life with. And in order to live life, you have to like live it with other people. You know, like, there's so many things that societally we're like, this is what we do with our friends, or this is what we do with a significant other, or this is what we do with our family. You know, like going to a football game, for example. Like, I went to a football game by myself. I don't like football, but I was like, I want to go to a football game, and I'm about to graduate, and this is the last game that's happening. And if I don't go to this, I will have completely missed out. And I don't want to do that either. I was like, I'm not going to put my life on pause and not do the things that I want to do because I don't have anyone to do them with. Was it absolutely daunting going by myself? Absolutely. I was so nervous. It took me forever to buy that ticket because I was like, oh, this is going to be so scary. Like, everyone's going to judge me, blah, blah, blah. I was fine. I was totally fine once I got there. It was a great experience, and it made me feel so much more empowered because I was like, look, if I can do this by myself, I can do anything by myself. And I feel like that's been this whole self-discovery process of just realizing how capable I am of getting through anything in my life by myself. And I think that is so, so important because yes, even when you do have people in your life and they're great and they're there for you, you're not guaranteed to have them there forever. You're not always going to have those people. You never know when like a friendship is going to end and someone is taken away from you. And yes, that sounds depressing, but the reality is like people come and go in your life. You have to learn how to be okay with life on your own so that when people come and go, it doesn't shake you up as much. Because I think that's the biggest problem here. Like, people truly get so shaken by like a friendship ending, because they're like, they put so much into that friendship and so much of their life depends on that friendship. And when it ends, it's like, that's the end all be all. But life doesn't end with that friendship. Like, if you can truly learn how to be content on your own, you find yourself in such a better position. You also open, that's the other thing. I recognize that, like, the moment I started learning how to be okay with myself and enjoying my time alone, I opened myself up to other people. Then the friendships started coming in my direction. I mean, first off, obviously, I started talking about it on TikTok and then I met so many people because of that. But obviously, that's not going to be everyone's experience. Not everyone's going to be able to get on TikTok, share it, and then find their community. But like, there were people in my life who maybe I wasn't super close with, but just like being okay with being alone allowed me to open myself up to them. Going to things by myself, saying yes to events by myself, and then meeting people there allowed me to meet new people. Just being open to having conversations with people in random places, because I was like, I spend a lot of time alone, like I'm gonna cherish any conversation I can have, led me to meeting new people, to having experiences with people, you know? I think the biggest recommendation I could give you guys, and yes, it's so much easier said than done, but if you can do it, you are truly gonna change your life for the better, and not just now, but forever, because I think a lot of people go through life and never truly understand how to manage loneliness. And whenever it strikes them, it puts them in a very difficult position and they don't know what to do and they don't know how to handle it. And it becomes so much bigger of a thing than it actually is. If you can learn how to love being on your own as the seasons change, as people come and go, you bring yourself so much peace in life. And yes, I will not lie. At times we get comfortable, even if you have gotten good at being on your own. At times we get comfortable with having people in our lives. And then when those people leave our lives, it can be a little bit harder to snap back into like, okay, I'm okay on my own. But I definitely think you have a leg up in comparison to everyone else. And like, I won't lie, like if you know me from TikTok, you know that I have this like Lonely Girl Diary series. And I had sort of had it on pause for a while because life got so busy and I didn't have time to like go out and do things on my own. And a big part of that series is just like exploring the world on my own, learning to like do things on my own and just like loving it, going to things that you usually would go to with a friend, like conventionally are supposed to go with someone else. Well, whoever said that, I don't know who said that, but like, I guess societally we believe that those are things you have to do with other people. But anyways, I won't lie. Like when I got back into doing it again, like I recently posted like a week or so ago, I posted a new one. It's gonna be like on and off at this point because again, life right now is just so busy where it's like I do a lot of things by myself, but a lot of the things that I do by myself are going into a different series, which is my UCLA bucket list series. Like a lot of those things that are on my bucket list, I've been doing by myself and I have no problem with it. But again, it's like hard to intersect the two different series, but like know that I'm doing it by myself and I'm enjoying it. For example, I went to the opera on Saturday here at UCLA and I went by myself and it was great and I actually really enjoyed it. And turns out I love opera and it was a great night and I loved it. It was a good time. But anyways, the point is, I won't lie, when I did that like most recent Lonely Girl Diary series, it took a moment for me to get back into feeling comfortable. Like when I first got there, I was at this venue and I did see that there were some other people by themselves, but it was like a seated venue and we had like specific seats. So I just like sat in my seat and I was sort of looking around and I was seeing people like talk to each other. I was having a moment where I was like, like this just, it feels a little off. But then I was like, no, like I came here because I wanted to come here and I wanted to have a good night and I'm excited about this. And like, I've done things on my own before and I felt truly comfortable. And so I just snapped back into that mindset and all was well and I had a great time. And then I went home and I went to bed and I was happy. I think the biggest thing truly like with loneliness is try and live for yourself. Like try and enjoy life for yourself. Don't put things on pause because you don't have people to do it with. Yeah, sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances where we're doing things by ourselves and it does feel a little odd. You're like, yeah, I feel like I should be here with another person. But you're just getting in your head ultimately. And also like if you're sitting there and you're like, oh, everyone sees me and they see that I'm like by myself and they probably think I'm so lonely. Like I don't think people are thinking that. Okay. I really don't think people are thinking that. I promise. I've never seen a person alone and been like, oh wow, they must be so lonely. Like never. Never had that thought cross my mind. I'm sure that that goes for a lot of people. So don't let yourself, that's the thing, we just get into our heads. Like ultimately the problem is we get into our heads and we like are so certain about something and we're probably completely wrong about it. And because we get into our heads, we like avoid doing things because of that. And that's not the right way to think. And I know, again, easier said than done to not care about stuff, but like truly try and not care. Try and work on that. Make it your mission to be someone who doesn't care as much. Now, obviously I think it's important to care about certain things, but there are scenarios scenarios where you should care and there are scenarios where you should not care, okay? And I think you need to figure out which is which and learn how to differentiate and then continue forward. And then with this quarter, obviously, life has been busy. My social calendar has been a lot more packed. I would say a lot of them are still very surface level friendships, but I would say that I do feel close to like some people in my life who have been in my life for a really long time. Is it my ideal form of friendship? No, I think I would love to have like a best friend. I don't think I'm gonna have that anytime soon, and I'm okay with that. I've gone for a really long time without like a true best friend, and that's okay. I think the other thing with like having a best friend, like we put this emphasis on like having someone so chronically in our lives, and sometimes like that person doesn't feel the same way, or like we just like create like higher expectations for someone, you know? Like at this point in my life, I just like to consider people who are in my life friends and keep it at that, because I think that if I just consider them as my friends, like it doesn't put that much of an expectation on them. Like I'm not expecting them to be my ride or die or to be there in every moment I need them to be. Like I don't want to put that expectation on someone because everyone has their own lives, and you never know, like they might be going through their own things. They may not be able to always be there for you, and putting that expectation on them obviously leads to disappointment, and then you obviously like are sitting here reconsidering your friendship. And I think the one thing I want to say is I know I talk a lot about my ex-boyfriend, think what you will about it. I think the one thing about him was he was the first person in my life outside of my immediate family members that I felt was truly genuine. It was a truly genuine relationship. And I know you could sit here and say, well, yeah, but he's your boyfriend. He should. But I mean, that man wasn't just my boyfriend. He was my best friend. And I had never had someone in my life, friend, partner, whatever, who felt that way for me. I had never felt like someone cared so much about me that they would do anything for me. And again, you're probably sitting here and you're like, well, obviously a boyfriend should do that. The things this man would do were beyond what you're expected to do as a boyfriend, okay? He really like came in at times that I was like, I just can't do this. He was like, I'll be there. I'm there. I'm gonna find any way I can to help you. And I truly do think that you can find that in friendships too. I think that there are people out there who are blessed to have friends that are as genuine as what I experienced with my first boyfriend. And, you know, it's not just like a, I'm going to be there for you, but I'm going to be there for all of you. Like, I think a big thing is like, this is overarching maybe, but like, I think that a true genuine friendship, they're not just going to be there for you in times of crisis, but let's say your family is going through something. They're going to show up for you in that moment too. I didn't have that with any of my friends. I've gone through some family stuff recently, still kind of going through it. I mean, it's probably always going to be there, unfortunately. But I was dealing with it, especially around this time last year. And when I would tell my friends, obviously, sometimes they'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry that you're going through that. You know, they'd express concern. And sometimes, yes, I did have some friends who would, you know, ask me about it like later on, be like, oh, how is it going with this? But I didn't have any friends like show up in that moment and be like, how can I help you? Or do you just want to talk about it? Like, I'll sit here and listen. I didn't have anyone show up for me in that manner. And this man did. Again, like the problem is he was my boyfriend. You're like, well, no duh, like he should have. But like, it was genuinely one of those things where he really went above and beyond in that sense. And he was like, I'm going to be there and I'm going to try and help you however you want. And many times I tried to push him away. I was like, no, I don't need the help. Like, no, I don't need someone. Like, it's okay. I can handle it on my own. I was like, this is a family thing. This has nothing to do with you. But he was like, I'm going to just sit here and wait until you call for me. And when you call for me, like, I will jump into action. And I will be there. And I think that's why I feel such a connection to him, because he was like truly like the first genuine person that I experienced in my life. And I hope I get to experience that again, whether that's in partner form or friendship form, whatever it is. But the connection that I had with him was truly amazing. And he was genuinely such a genuine person. And that's why for the longest time out of that relationship, I refused to go no contact with him, because I was like, I know I've gone through enough time in life to know that finding someone so genuine is so insanely difficult that I can't lose you. I can't lose you from my life, because I don't know when I'm going to find another person like you, whether that's in friendship form, whether that's in partner form. And since he's like left my life, like since I haven't had him in my life, which it's like almost 4 months now, by the time you're listening to this, it'll have been 4 months. But honestly, even longer than that, because yes, we broke no contact for a while, but that was just like that was a fever dream. That didn't happen. Okay. So more than that, basically since like August, I haven't had anyone that's come remotely close to what he did. Have I had some amazing friends step in in other departments, absolutely. And I'm grateful for them. Like, I truly am grateful for them. But in something like that, something that is a lot more personal, I haven't had that. And again, I've managed on my own. I've been fine. You know, ultimately, like I said, I have my family and I feel like that is really all I need. But to have had that was amazing. And it's interesting because this man, even though, like I said, I haven't talked to him in a really long time, I think is still that genuine person to this day. And I say that because recently my sister got back in contact with him and it was sort of in like a big brother way. Like, she was like asking him like a question in which like she was asking for his advice. And as I've been told, he did indeed provide that advice. And it was funny because I had a friend, when I told her about it, she was like, oh, like, did he actually give her advice or was he like dismissive? And I was like, no, he actually gave her advice. Like, he took time out of his day, even though they haven't talked since I went no contact with him. And, you know, like, he doesn't owe me or her or any of us anything. But the fact that he took time out of his day to try and help her out, I truly appreciate that from him. Like, I appreciate that. Anyways, okay, I think I've been talking for almost 2 hours now, which is crazy. But this was a long one because I had a lot to talk about. And I do know that I had like a longer intro. But since someone had asked me for this episode, I definitely wanted to cover it because I think it's important. And I hope that like something in here resonated with you. Something in here, if you're still listening, which I don't know if anyone's listening, but I just hope that something in here made you think a little bit, made you feel a little bit better about your circumstances, made you feel a little bit less lonely, anything like that. Whatever it is, I just hope that something in here helped you in some way or another, because that's why I talk about this kind of stuff. And yeah, just know that it does get better. It does get better. Also know that you become more resilient with time. I think really the thing about growing up is certain things are always going to be more difficult when you're younger, but with time, as you experience it over and over again, you become more resilient and you develop those strategies and you're able to handle things better. And new challenges come, of course, and you have to start from scratch with those kind of challenges. But yeah, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And I hope this helped. I hope this helped at least one person out there. And if you're still listening, thank you so much, because I know this has been a really long episode. Anyways, thank you so, so much for listening. I would love if you follow me on whatever streaming platform you're listening to me on, just because it's so nice to know that people are listening. And I feel like that's the easiest way to know like people are listening, like people actually like what I'm producing. I'm also thinking of doing, I think once I graduate, maybe putting together like a little like written guide on loneliness, my best tips. If you've listened to like my loneliness episodes and loneliness TikToks, you've definitely heard them before, but maybe just putting a written guide together and then like linking it in my little like link tree, just to like refer back, because it's easier than like referring back to a video, because then you have to like sit down and listen to the video or a podcast episode, like, and you have to sit down and listen to the podcast episode. So I'm thinking of doing that. Someone could let me know if that's of interest to them. Thank you so much for listening. Love you all. Truly do. Thanks for being here, and I will see you in my episode next week. Bye.